You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the Kid Counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I am answering a question from Chris, and Chris reached out earlier. He's in the Virgin Islands, and he has reached out with another scenario. So this one is about an older child, 14-year-old client, and a client who tends to fall asleep in session. So I'm really excited to answer this. It's interesting. Everything in my life goes in cycles, as I've mentioned before. And in the coaching groups lately, we've talked about several cases where kids fall asleep in session and how to handle it, what to do about it. So Chris, thanks for the email. Thanks for reaching out about this. So I'm going to read parts of his question and then we'll dive in together. I'm working with a 14-year-old boy. He has no siblings and no relationship with his father. I've known him from groups and he was referred for individual therapy. I hold CCPT values. However, this boy's authentic, self-directed way of being involves him falling asleep during the session. He has been diagnosed with autism, which I'm skeptical about, and I've not checked the testing report. He does fit some of the criteria, but I'm still skeptical and I don't like diagnoses, nor do I. I've reflected his anxiety, his uncertainty, ambivalence, and empathized with him. His mother is relatively impatient for the process and seemingly doubts it as he reports he does nothing during the session. Also, there's the dimension of insurance reimbursement if he does sleep. Either way, my question is, what is the CCPT way to work through this presenting issue? He has not been verbal with me, but presents as aware and cognizant. Okay, so there's lots of layers here. So let's try to dive into these one at a time. First and foremost, CCPT is predicated on relationship. So Chris, you didn't mention how many sessions you'd had with him. But number one, first and foremost, every bit of any scenario. So regardless of the presenting concern, regardless of the frustration, regardless of the lack of awareness of how to handle something, our number one priority is to establish relationship, trust, rapport, all of those things. My gut tells me you've already done that, and that's why he's comfortable enough to come in and sleep. So my second thought is, CCPT is also predicated on children know what they need. And children will get their needs met if they're given the time, the tools, and the opportunity. They'll work through their stuff. They will address what they need to. And it will be because it's a means to an end, necessary part of their healing journey. So in the coaching groups, when we've talked through scenarios where a child falls asleep, in one in particular, she fell asleep consistently every week, similar to what you're describing, Chris. So here is what we discussed, and here's what I think is really helpful for us to keep in mind. If a child comes in and has an hour to do whatever he chooses, let's think about this from a developmental perspective first. He's 14. He has hormonal changes, chemical changes, physical changes, social changes, academic changes, mental changes, psychological changes. Being a 14-year-old is hard. It's exhausting and it's taxing and it takes a toll. So even if this is not a fatigue issue, meaning he actually is in fact getting enough sleep, I don't know. Maybe he's staying up playing video games all night and so he is not getting enough sleep. That's something you would process with mom in a parent consultation. But even if he is not overly fatigued, he is likely just tapped out because of everything that he's going through at a 14. So I would argue that if we believe that we can trust kids, when a kid comes in and they have an hour to do whatever they choose, and they just need the peace, the calm, the comfort, the safety, the assurance that it's okay for me to just rest. I think that's a gift for kids. And that's what we've talked about in the coaching. In this particular case that I'm speaking about, she was selectively mute and she would come in and fall asleep. And we talked about, think about how high her anxiety levels are if she's struggling with selective mutism. And if she can have a reduction in anxiety for that hour where she feels safe enough and less anxious enough to sleep, What a gift that is to her. And keep in mind, too, with teenagers, if they don't want to come, if they hate you, if they hate therapy, if they hate CCPT, if they hate any of it, they'll let you know. So, Chris, the fact that he's coming in willingly each week, he's choosing not to talk, could be tied to very high levels of anxiety, similar to the girl that I was just speaking about with my coaching participant. So are his anxiety levels through the roof high? And he never gets rest. He never gets peace. Nothing's ever quiet and calm and stable enough for him to feel at ease. Maybe your room and that time with you is the only time that he can allow himself to relax enough to sleep. We have no idea the deeper things that are going on often when kids come in and play with us. So if he comes in and falls asleep, and we truly believe in CCPT and we truly trust the process, this is something where he's meeting his needs and he will self-actualize as a result of it. Let's think about Maslow for a second. And I know I'm digressing a smidge, but this is relevant, I promise. Think about the hierarchy of needs. If you don't know that you're going to have food, water, and shelter, you're not going to worry about becoming the best version of yourself. If he is this anxious, this exhausted, this tired, this worn out, he's not going to be able to do work. So there are precursors sometimes. Now, the caveat is sometimes kids will come in and to be avoidant, to resist, to power struggle, to have control over things, they will pretend to sleep. In other words, that's their little watch this. I'm not going to do anything with you today. I'm just going to pretend like I'm sleeping. That could warrant a limit because you know that that is for a different agenda. If this child is coming in that exhausted and actually falling asleep, I would argue that's what the child needs most. So then to speak to your question about mom is impatient and he reports that he does nothing in session. Well, many times kids will say that they didn't do anything in session, or they'll say, we just played. And parents receive that as, what's the point? This isn't helping. There's nothing productive or therapeutic about playing or doing nothing. That's a conversation that needs to be had with mom. You have to help her understand the process. You have to help her understand expectations. You have to help her understand how valuable it is that he comes in and he gets to be in charge. And if he chooses to do nothing, there's still meaning there. You also have to help her understand that you don't have to talk for this to be therapeutic. He doesn't have to play for this to be therapeutic. That's a lot of psychoeducation for mom in a consult. And then finally, your question, there's the dimension of insurance reimbursement if he does sleep. We are exclusively private pay at my center, so I cannot speak to insurance reimbursement, but here is what I know. There have been a few times that I've had a child fall asleep in session, and it has not been a weekly scenario. This child, it sounds like, is coming in and falling asleep every week. My other coaching participant, she was coming in and falling asleep every week. That's a little bit of a different dynamic. The only times that I've had kids fall asleep is when they were sick or getting sick, or up all night in the hospital in one case. So in those scenarios, I chose not to charge. I explained to parents, I did not say the child fell asleep. I just said, there wasn't a whole lot that happened in this session. She's just exhausted. She didn't really have any energy to do anything. And I don't feel comfortable charging you for it. I don't feel like it was therapeutically productive. So I'm going to not bill you today. That was my discretion, my choice, and that's a customer service standpoint. For insurance, I would argue that you could justify that that's what the child needed and it was therapeutically valuable because this too shall pass. One of my favorite quotes is, put the power of this too shall pass at work in your perspective. He's not going to sleep in every session forever. The coaching participant that I mentioned, her girl stopped sleeping eventually. This too shall pass. I think this is means to an end. I think this is knowing what the body needs and what the mind needs. And I think he just needs to have some rest and some downtime. I don't think it will happen long term. So I think you actually could justify that that is necessary and therapeutically valuable. But again, I'm speaking outside of my scope because we do not bill insurance. But Chris, I think my big takeaway for this question is you are providing an environment, you're providing a relationship, and he knows what he needs and he'll do the work. So I would be patient. I would trust it. I would know that he is working on things that he needs to work on. And every scenario might be a little bit different. That's why we need to use our clinical judgment. Like I said, if you can tell that it's resistance or avoidance or power and control or whatever, you know, you can say, oh, you're pretending to sleep, but you know that our playtime isn't for sleeping. That would be an appropriate limit to set if it's that kind of scenario. A kid that just really needs to sleep and never gets an opportunity to except that hour with you. What I shared in that coaching call is what a gift. Chris, what a gift to this little boy that he gets to come in and finally have a relaxed hour where he's at peace and calm and internally settled enough that he can get the rest that he needs. My take, if you have a difference of opinion, I would love to hear from you. Email me and tell me that you think I'm crazy. I'm happy to have a lively debate. All right, Chris, thank you so much for the question. Y'all, I love you. Hope you have a great week. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.